I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it that time already? We're back at it.
Really? Well, you're back.
Yes.
Denny's back in town.
Yes, back in town. I was checking out some real estate while we were in a good neighbor tour to Switzerland and Italy.
Oh, cool.
In fact, we went by George Clooney's estate in Lake Como.
Wow.
We didn't have time to stop in. He was
not
begging
for lunch.
Us.
He wasn't available?
No, but just went by there. But I did, in fact, I have to look for while we chat. I'm going to look for some pictures I had taken at some real estate windows in the city of Lugano, Switzerland, which is kind of like the old Monaco of Switzerland, if you will. And there were quite a few expensive properties.
What kind of price ranges were you seeing? I mean,
keep in mind, they're in the Swiss, they're not in the European Union. They're in the, they still use the Swiss franc, which is about 1-to-1 dollar. Now, saying that, a can of Coke may be $10 too.
Wow.
But so I'm saying it may be equal 1-to-1, but it's a beautiful place. But they have apartments in the city of Lugano. These are apartments now. I found one room that was maybe half the size. You know where we are here?
Yeah.
If you did like a 4-foot square, 5-foot square, no bathroom or anything, it's just a desk. And that was 500 Swiss francs a month. But that's just for this.
Wow.
Otherwise, apartments go for like $3 million, $7
million.
Apartments.
Seems fair. Yeah. Sell a lot of hot chocolate.
So you guys do well in southern Switzerland.
I'm adding up the commission dollars on those.
Already. Yeah. I can see the wheels turning.
Chris is online booking his ticket right now.
But we're back. Meanwhile, back in the USA, you guys have, I haven't talked to you for a couple of weeks now.
I know.
What's been happening?
You know, the market's actually starting to pick up a little, more so than what it was. We're seeing a lot of action out there. I mean, and really in all price ranges. Yeah, we have. We've, a lot of our... You know, I think it was last month, 58% of the sales were equated to houses being sold under 300,000. And so it just shows there's a lot of pressure still on that price point because of affordability, you know. So rates have dropped just a little bit this week again. I mean, they're just about 3.6 on a 30-year fixed, give or take a few, depending on your credit.
It's amazing.
That's free money, I mean, in my opinion. I mean, that's so if you've ever thought about it, you know, it's a fun time to really get involved in the housing market.
I actually listed a investment property, and that's what I was interested to see is that we just got, I mean, just flocked on.
Yeah.
I mean, we had showings set up left and right, and they're asking, do you have any others? You know, so if you have investment properties and you're looking to sell, it kind of makes sense maybe to do it right now.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, Danny, if you think about it. I mean, the markets have been all over the place this week, and so a lot of people are like, hey, I want to diversify my portfolios, get something stable that's actually tangible as well. Like, you know, some people don't like looking at a portfolio on paper that goes up and down every day, and you drive by a house is still a house. You know what I mean? It's still
that's
a tangible asset that you can drive by and remind yourself what you own. So I think there's some security and, you know, stability with that, but...
I want to, you know what I failed to do is invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have a real estate type of question, whether you're sitting here at the state fair or if you want to call in or text in, that same number applies now. If you want to send a text, 651-989-9226. And again, if you want to call it in, the same number, 651-989-9226.
Well, as Andy and I were walking around the fair, we both got, he got here earlier than me.
Yeah.
He actually went and purchased something too.
Yeah, I already dropped some money on a sun umbrella up by the Rainbow Play Systems. There's a group up there that they sell these umbrellas that actually can adjust for the sun. They have a dropping screen kit. And it's been something we've been talking about for years. We're finally like, let's do it, you know, and they...
It's for your home,
your home. Yeah, yep, for the deck in the back. We have a deck that faces right straight west, and so we get a little bit of that, well, not a little bit, a lot of sun. So
to extend our use of that deck, this was almost a necessity, you know. So
with that, we were trying to talk about what we're gonna talk about.
Sure,
today.
Sure. You're preparing.
Yeah. So I was inspired by Andy's how he's get the value of his home. He's raising it. So we decided we'd go through the Home Improvement Center.
Is that what I did?
Yeah. Yeah. You did. And so at 9:45, I mean, we're on at 10. We decided to go through the building over there and find out like what would be good for values to houses. But yeah. We went in the wrong building.
Yeah, we were walking around looking for home improvements, and we realized we were actually in the grandstand. So we're like, if you need beef jerky, shoelaces,
they do sell
cell phone plug-in things.
We did find some things, though.
Let's see.
A flagpole.
A flagpole.
And I'm telling you, this flagpole, I'm buying it. But I really think that adds value to the house. And,
I never thought about that.
People are actually laughing at us.
It's true.
It's true. Yeah,
it
sure.
is true. Because, number one, you get color.
Yep.
For sure. And I think it's...
I'm going to let you sizzle on this one.
No, it's good. I think a flagpole and having that out there, I think, is a good thing.
Very much so. I know that a couple guys up at our lake place on Lake Ida flag the ends of their docks with their college, you know, that they went to, and it's kind of fun. And then depending on the game that's being played, they do that as well. There's a way to be a little more enthusiastic about...
But there are a lot of people that display flags for, you know, whether it be July 4th or whatever the
right on.
Memorial Day. Which I think is good. Whatever you put on it, that's another thing. But and then how about water systems? That's another thing that we found out.
Oh, we did, yeah.
What do you think? You think that helps houses?
Mean water what?
Like a water filtration system.
Oh, okay.
Like a Kinetico or
drinking.
Something like that.
Sure,
like the drinking water on the table here.
Right. Yep. That you find right here at their broadcast center.
Yeah. Very generous. They brought us some water today. So the water systems, in my opinion, you know, you get into a house where sometimes with new construction, we'll come across a property where there's the pipes are new. So the water may come across as a little bit of a sulfur smell, or it may have, you know, a little where it's not as clean. And I'll tell you, people stop in their tracks and they go, oh, I don't want to have a house with bad water. So I think that something like that is, even at the builder level, should be offered to make sure that the people are excited about the water, tastes good, smells good, is desirable. And I think it does make a big difference on property value, because some people that are into water, which most of us are, will stop dead in their tracks and not buy that house, no matter how beautiful.
But I think that's if you're reminded of it. So if you do, you see rust stains and things like that, or deposits that are on the house, then that's a problem. You know, then you have to have a system. But you can also get by with water, because it's typically an emotional decision. And that's something you can always add after the fact. So that goes into my little group of it depends. You know, because some of these systems are very expensive, you know, and if I was going to spend, you know, $6,000 on paint or $6,000 on a water filtration system that doesn't show up, I'd be putting on paint all day long.
Okay. Something's more visible than...
Well, you know, that's just like I had a customer a couple years back that had $100,000 in retaining walls on the waterfront property they were on. And you couldn't see it from the house, but you could see it from the water.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous. Everybody referenced that house as the one with the beautiful boulder walls. And when we went to sell that house, a lot of people, all they would mention is that the house was dated, that it needed to be updated. And I'm like, the house next door that's updated doesn't have the retaining wall. We can update the house for $15,000. You guys next door are gonna have to put $100,000 into that retaining wall. So I guess what I'm saying is, you know, when you look at a house, you have to look at all aspects of it. Don't be afraid to turn on the water, per se, you know, when you're doing your inspection, if you like the house or whatever. And don't be afraid to look at all aspects of it, because it ultimately can be an expense or a source of enjoyment, right? Or hopefully a little bit of both balanced.
I think what you were actually saying is, Chris, you were right.
No.
He kind of said that.
Okay. Yeah.
But if you think about that, that boulder thing is a perfect example.
Yeah.
You know, that... People think that you can just go and do that. And I mean, on the lake, you need permits to be able to do that. I mean, and putting in a boulder wall like that is thousands and thousands of dollars.
Oh.
Maybe, you know, I had one on ours and it was $20,000. And it's kind of like, ouch.
Most of those guys won't get out of their trucks for less than $20,000 when it comes to the big, you know, hardscapes.
Sure, sure.
Because they just can't. It's not profitable for them, so they don't want to do
it. Yeah.
Tell you what, let's do this. Let's take our usual break again, inviting our listeners to join in. If you have a real estate question, either here at the State Fair or on the phone, or text 651-989-9226. Again, that number applies both to the phone calls and the text questions as well. 651-989-9226. We'll be back after this break here at the fair on News Talk 830 WCZO. And good morning. Welcome back to our real estate show here on 830 WCCO. Danny Long here with Chris and Andy back on our veranda. And by the way, if you do have a question, as usual, call us or text us or come on up to the deck and we'll get that question answered. Besides that,
yeah,
anybody here who is in our audience who wants to ask a real estate question, what do they get for their trouble?
We have one of these beautiful stainless steel mugs designed by NASA, I think, Chris, read on the back.
NASA, for sure.
Yeah. Exclusively for us.
And, how about that?
Yeah, they're really nice mugs. Actually, a lot of people tell say give some of the big brands a run for their money with ice cubes.
I have got one of these, thanks to you, and I use it every day with the ice cubes. They last forever.
Wow, good.
Yeah, so there.
Yeah.
So I'm not eligible
Andy
for another
nice
one.
Mugs. Yeah. If you ask a question, yeah. And I think you have a text one, so we might as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, text, and there's more coming in, too. By the way, text number and the phone number are the same, 651-989-9226. I don't know if this is a touchy one or not, but I'm going to ask it anyway. All right? Real Estate Hour. Is it okay for the agent to give a kickback on the closing costs?
Wow.
Okay. A kickback. Yeah, I mean, there's referral programs that works with some people. Will do it. What is that one with Home Heroes?
Well, yes, for charity, there's a lot of us that are in the business, including a lot of the RE/MAX agents that give back to some of the Miracle Kids networks and things like that. But a kickback, I'm assuming, hence the name kickback,
yeah,
meaning you're incentivizing somebody to do business with you. If everybody's disclosed and the banks are okay with it, it can be legal.
Yep. It's got to be disclosed.
It's got to be disclosed, yep, and agreed to by everyone. If somebody doesn't know about it and they find out about it later, you can get into a little pickle.
You got it.
Here's another, excuse me, here's another text. They're coming in now fast. I have a typical split entry townhouse, $200,000 bracket, 24 years old. They are selling quickly. Do I need to put new appliances in? They are original but all working. We have no pets, no smoking. I'm thinking good cleaning, declutter, interior painting. Some windows we have replaced, but not patio doors. Should they be replaced?
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, if they're leaking or you have a seal that's bad or you can't open it, you got to have that stuff replaced, because everyone thinks that it's a heck of a lot more expensive than it really is. But you have a townhouse in the $200,000 price range. I think it would be to your benefit to add those things, because people get emotional over that, and that's a price range where they'll shoot it up, and you'll definitely get your money back for that. You know, people just have, and that's why HGTV is a billion-dollar industry, people cannot envision. And then a lot of people don't have the money. They have the money to buy.
There you go.
But they don't have the money to fix.
Yep.
And so, but they can finance it, and especially now with these interest rates. It doesn't matter, because a month ago that they lost out on four offers, now they're paying $10,000 more, and the payment's less.
Right. Or, they'd like to pay the extra $15 a month, and then the patio door's in, and they don't have to come up with a $1,500 to $2,000 to have it done themselves. So, you know, the thing is that I do see a consistent cleanliness is always important, regardless of what level of home you're selling. You decide based on the home improvements, because some home improvements do not give you 100% return. I mean, if you go and you put a $100,000 kitchen in the house and put your house up for sale, you might get 50 back, you know? Now, on the other hand, if you spend $50,000 and it looks amazing, and now you have this, you know, brings the whole house level up, you might do okay. So you have to be very strategic when you're investing big dollars into a house. The small stuff, the appliances, the spending cash, petty cash fund kind of stuff, I always tell people, if you can afford it, get it done ahead of time. It makes it that much easier for somebody to want to make a decision on buying that house.
651-989-9226. Again, that's the same number if you want to send a text, if that's easier. Let's see. We have another one here coming in. I have, texter says, a single-level townhouse in Mendota Heights, which I bought for $385,000 just before the Great Recession. I gutted it and completely remodeled it for an additional $600,000. You think I will ever get my money out? Well, there's kind of an example of what you guys were just talking about. I mean, you put $1,000 into a $200 car.
Wow. Yeah. I think, you know, I mean, there was a key word in there, and they said a townhouse that they have. And the problem with that is that it's going to compare to the other ones that are next to you. And if you're, I mean, if the other ones are 500 and you're a million, you know, that's kind of a problem. So
unless you have a cash buyer.
Yeah. But I mean,
tell you what, there's something about, I mean, if you put $600,000 into that home and totally gut it, and it's one level, I bet you that is one kick.
But, nice.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you. Kick,
he looks at
nice
me for
place.
The classy phrases.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Enjoy it, too. I mean, at some day it'll come back, but I just don't think, I mean,
well, you
that's
know,
too much.
If you overinvest into a property, it just takes time to heal. You know what I mean? It's like the market eventually will catch up with you, but at that time, then you're the really nice remodeled 20 years ago house, and, you know, the guy down the street might have the fresh remodel. So it's a game. What you want to do is make educated decisions. Look at, you know, the investment as, you know, unless it's an exceptional property like Chris was referencing where it's totally unique, you might want to play the game. You might want to look at what's the cap of the market. Maybe that market capped at 500 and you blew past it because you could, you might have made a mistake. On the other hand, if you hit the cap and you stay underneath it, and you know, you may have put a lot of interested people in your pocket.
You've done a lot of shows about what people should be doing when they put up their house for sale, what things you guys as agents suggest they do. What's maybe the main one or two? Declutter would be one?
Yep. Clean.
Clean.
And super clean. And that means the mechanicals and all of that stuff. Deep cleaning is huge.
I was going to say clean equals quality. People assume things that are clean are nicer quality, and it doesn't have to be the most expensive furnace, but when you just replace it a couple years ago and it's shiny and it looks nice and it has the warranty card on it, people perception is it's new and it's going to have a long life ahead of it, right?
And what people worry about when it's dirty is what else has happened to the house. And when it's super clean, they think, oh my gosh, I mean, they must have really taken care of this house.
Taken care.
It'll be, it's normal, but it's the unknown things to buyers that I think that's the part that freaks them out.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have a take a break here. We have another half hour of the show to go, so call in or text in your real estate questions. And good morning. Welcome back to our real estate show. If you happen to have that kind of a question, you can call it in. You can text it in. You can walk up to our veranda here at CCO at the fair and ask. In fact, if you do that very thing, we have a special, no cost to you, a very special mug.
They probably want them. Chris autographed them, but
hey, I got a pen over here.
That'll be worth something someday.
To who?
So come on up and ask the question. You get that mug just for asking that question.
Yeah.
If you'd rather call us or text us, same number applies, 651-989-9226. Chris and Andy, text just came in. It says, this does an asphalt driveway add a lot of value when the property is located on a rural gravel road?
Mm.
I'm going with a yes. I think a driveway is good to have. I don't think if I was on that rural road that I would put cement in just because of the cost, as long as there's something hard surface. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, it depends on what the driveway is being used for. If you have a nice collector car or something like that, or your kids want to play basketball or whatever, I think there's a lot of advantages to having a hard surface near the house, even if you have to run the gravel to get there. But just understand that if you have gravel and you have the asphalt, you may not always have your asphalt look pretty. So you may want to look at an alternative like a concrete and run a smaller concrete area, and then it kind of matches the gravel and might be a little easier to last, right?
Well, I think the other thing, too, is that it depends how long that driveway is as well.
Right.
So I wouldn't say paying $20,000-$25,000 for a tar driveway would be a good idea. But in a situation like that, it might be just do it up and around the garage. So you have some area to park and that kind of thing, just for mud and all that.
Right.
And I think it depends what kind of house you're talking to. So there's a lot of, in real estate, that's the one thing, there's a lot of depends type things, well, because it does. It matters, you know. If they would at that $385,000 house we talked about before, if it was in the right area and they put $600 into it, that might not be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But when you're kind of priced, you're stuck in a price because of the same ones right down the street, you know, then it's probably not.
You guys work kind of different ends of the cities, more or less.
No.
And
well, Andy's just not allowed where we are.
Is there an area that's really either south or north where you are, Andy?
No, I think that there's so much business to be done you know, where we live and where we operate and function, and our internal networks are that we'll go anywhere. I mean, I've been down to Rochester before. I know Chris has been up into my turf in Andover recently.
And I think it's I think that's the good thing about us, is that we kind of play off of each other as well.
Yeah.
And help each other, and you know, because Andy's primarily on the north end and I'm primarily on the south end, but we both do kind of the west and east side. So.
And you mentioned this before, too, that as agents representing a buyer or seller or whatever,
yep.
You, with experienced agents, you guys work together, right? The smart ones do, right? I mean, if
well,
there's competition, but I mean, it's going to help each other, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think the thing is that when realtors start fighting against each other, who are you helping?
Who wins?
I mean,
right?
You got to remember who you're representing. You represent your client. And that's the most important person in the transaction. And I think sometimes just those realtor egos get in the way.
Yeah.
Right, Andy?
Oh, for sure. I think that there's that. Wait. I wasn't listening. I was thinking about
that.
Myself.
The
when you get into negotiating and it comes down to the client and you're hired by someone, you have that fiduciary responsibility, you know, loyalty, obedience, disclosure, confidentiality, and reasonable care.
A couple of those things.
Yeah. And so there's, we take that very seriously. So when you're meeting with the other side of the transaction, and it's to your client's benefit to cooperate, you cooperate. If it's to your advantage to protect your client, to not necessarily cooperate or maybe play the little more tactical, you know, defensive role, you have to do that as well. It just really comes down to what's important for the client.
I think that's interesting too, because I think in some situations it's like the other side you don't represent thinks you have to help them, and
yeah.
You don't. I mean, you can't. I mean, we'd love to. But if you represent one side of the transaction,
right.
You have to represent them.
Yeah.
Whether or not, I mean, obviously it has to be lawful, but even if you don't agree with it, if that's what your client wants, that's what you have to do.
But that's what, and we all get trying to save money, right? We all buy fruit, you know, and spend money smartly. But there's a lot of perception where I'm going to buy direct. I want to go and buy that house without representation. And there's a perception that they're going to get a better deal on that house. And what you have to remember is that person that's under contract that has their house listed, they're under contract for a fixed amount of money. That agent agrees to pay out that amount, the agent, not the client, the agent agrees to pay out that amount of money to another agent to cooperate with bringing in a client. Cooperative, you know, broker reciprocity. On the other hand, people are like, how do you do this? How do you, you know, can I save thousands by not having anybody help me? And sometimes you can, but most of the time you can't.
Why is it that, and you've said it before, when people, our listeners, ask certain questions, whether they be legal or tax questions, why cannot you guys answer those?
We're not an attorney. We're an accountant. So that's why, I mean, we can't. And we state that. Now, obviously, we go through a lot of situations, you know, that we've been through. And we can certainly talk on
kind of generalize.
Yeah, we'll talk about our own experiences, but we can't give legal or tax
advice. Well, the reason I brought that up, because I'm looking at a text message that says this. What are the tax consequences of selling a vacation home in Minnesota? Can you generalize an answer to that one?
I would think that, I've done that before. And you definitely get taxed on that, but it's depending on how long you've been in there. Becomes a long-term capital gain tax.
Answer more of the, if it's your primary residence, Denny, which some people will strategically make their vacation home their primary residence. They'll sell their town and, you know, their let's say you retire, right? So Chris decides to sell his house in the city and then he moves up to the lake. There's time windows of what you have to make sure that you're within time parameters. But then if you talk to your accountant says, yes, now this house qualifies as your primary residence. You sell that, you may have the gains again. So you obviously consult the accountants and the attorneys and worth every penny in those situations.
Yeah, to be sure.
Yeah, and there's ways to do that with investment properties as well. A lot of people do that. A lot of people buy investment properties in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and they have them, and they sell their home here, and then they go move into that investment property. Then if they sell that later, there is I would talk to an accountant because there's advantages to that.
Yeah, so be careful.
Yeah. Yep.
651-989-9226. That's, again, the same number if you want to send a text. 651-989-9226.
You know, we have every fall, this is our little fall maintenance thing for people.
Yeah.
But if you're thinking about selling in the spring, take photos now.
That's a good idea.
And try to get that outside stuff done now, because you've seen what our springs are like. I mean, and springs turn into Junes.
July.
When people get their house on the market, and that's what happens. So if you're even considering it, do it this fall and then get some photos, because then at that time you can hit the market when the market's hot in your price segment, because that's what happens. All of a sudden a price segment gets super hot, and then if you can jump on it and take advantage of it, you can make thousands and thousands of dollars more.
Interesting he says that. We're actually working with a couple of our photography teams right now, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're getting the summer photos taken when the gardens are looking great and the flowers look beautiful to make the quote scrapbook, so that when the February listing happens, there's a guide to show you, hey, look at how beautiful it is in the summertime as well. Because a lot of times in the wintertime, you know, Chris and I also recommend, if your yard isn't as perfect as it could be, winter's also a great time to hide your and get your sins forgiven. And, you know, it, so buyer beware in that case. Like when you're buying in the winter, you really don't know what you're getting. And
But don't think that you, if you want to list now, do it. I mean, it's getting a lot better. I mean, we told people in July, kind of the start of August, it was just kind of slow.
Yeah.
And now it's, I can feel it. Something's happening. So, and you know, that's the thing, that we have all different price ranges that Andy and I both work. And so when you start seeing them all start kind of getting some action, there's something going on.
Right.
So
what
about
front? I was going to ask you about front doors. We've talked in the past about, you know, if you want to paint and dress up your front, because first somebody drives up and they're really interested in your house and they see it, their first glance is like, yeah, I don't even want to go in. But how important, what I want to ask, besides the front door, is a garage door?
Yeah.
Garage doors.
Is that or more important than a regular front entry door?
We recommend them a lot to be able to put new garage doors in, because a lot of kids play baseball on them, you know, and there's dents in them. And if you can, I mean, a prominent part of your house is the garage and the front curb appeal. So getting a good garage door. But I'll tell you what, even taking a step back, and people laugh at me when I say this, but a mailbox is another big thing, because when you're looking, you usually try to spot a for sale sign, but otherwise it's the address on the mailbox. And that's people's first impression.
Yeah,
I mean, just
the
simple
house, yep.
Simple little things like that.
Well, what about a mailbox? What can you do with that?
Have a Packer mailbox. Oh. That's one thing. I did that to a client once. They had one. I'm like, you can't sell like that, you know.
No, don't
as the next day, a Packer jersey walks by.
Yeah. The next day, they had it gone. I'm like,
they did.
I was kind of kidding.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we need to take our usual quick break about this time, so let's do that and invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have any kind of a real estate question, call it in, text it in, or come on up to the veranda here, and you can even grab a great mug here. Absolutely free, just for asking your real estate question. 651-989-9226 or send a text 81807. I'm sorry, same number. We've changed that. Same number, 651-989-9226 makes it easier that way. Call or text here at CCO. And good morning. Welcome back to our real estate show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're broadcasting live from the Minnesota State Fair. Chris and Andy up here in our deck, our CCO radio veranda, talking real estate. If you have a question, come on up. You can grab yourself a mug absolutely free for your real estate question. Or call us or text us, 651-989-9226.
Can you imagine, Denny, how good that water would taste, the Connecticut water in that
yeah,
mug?
Yeah, yeah. And if you got ice cubes in there, they last forever. It's amazing. We have texts coming in.
Oh, good.
Should we feel those? Let's see. Here's one. We have had, I'm sure you guys deal with this all the time, we have had our home on sale since June 6th. Does that make a difference to buyers?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if it hasn't sold, market time is a big factor when people look at, you know, when they start making offers. But I mean, if you have the value there, we've had many listings that have lasted longer, and you got to be able to show them the value, and you got to stick to it.
Yeah,
and that's the other thing. But if there is things that need to be done, you know, and if realtors aren't telling you, there's some that, you know, we have that have been on the market a while, but they're right. It's just a longer cycle for some of those houses. So I would look at what the normal market time is in your particular graphic. But, I mean, you're at 60 days or 70 days.
Big deal.
It's not the end of the world. No, it's not death. No, I just saw one that sold. I was doing a market analysis. I saw one that sold. 724 days that was on the market.
So, wow. So there.
Well, but you got to remember, it's like going fishing. I mean, sometimes you go out there and you're looking for a specific kind of fish and they're not biting. So if it's $1 million plus listing, it's $500,000, or is it $300,000? If that house was a $250,000 house and it wasn't selling, the market's rejecting your price.
Yeah.
Or your condition. There's something wrong there.
Yep.
There's something happening where the formula's not working, because most houses under the 300 are selling within a couple of days, and they're usually getting exactly what they want as long as they're in good condition. So, you know, like Chris was just saying, you really got to look at the whole formula to really decide what's going on there, because there's more to the diagnostics of it than just, you know, everything sells in 3 days, because that's not true.
That's right.
Yeah, and if there's five houses that you're competing against and those four already sold,
yeah,
well, you got a problem.
That's right.
Is it a price problem or a condition problem?
So all right.
We got a question.
We have a question here.
A question up here. All right.
I have a question about flipping a house. If you are just an investor and are not handy and don't do it yourself, is it still possible to make money, you know, by hiring someone else to do all the work? I'm Daniel from Hutchinson.
That's a great question.
Well, Daniel, you're looking at the guy that's done that quite a bit. Yeah, I'm not very handy. My wife would admit that very much so. It's getting the right people and getting a contractor. And I'll tell you what, I think the mistakes I've made is trying to be the guy that kind of, I'll hire this guy and I'll hire this guy. It's all in the buy on a flip.
Yep.
You get the right buy, you know, and then put the right things in there to be able to kind of go after the your target buyer. You can make money.
Well, you know, like Chris is saying there, the successful flippers write 30 offers before they get one. So when you're like strategic and you're thinking about it and you're doing all the math and it's scary sometimes. I think it's easier sometimes just to write the offer, dive into the process, put contingencies on there so that you can get out of the deal if you have to, if it's a flip, so that you have the due diligence process completely, all the boxes checked, you know what I mean? But sometimes you got to get to that point where you act fast, tie up the property, and then you go through and you bring your contractors through, you have everybody look at it and you say, hey, I can make, you know, so many dollars, let's do it, and then perform.
Here's a text, guys. Is a radon test required to sell a home?
It is not.
Wow.
But most people do them. And usually if it's over, 4.0 picoliters or whatever they call it.
Right, right.
Well, whatever that
you omit a 4.
Those initials
2,
are,
so.
Whatever those initials are. Yeah, if it's over 4.0, typically people will ask that the seller put in a mitigation system.
Well, they will ask.
And then, and want to get it under 4.
And Chris, what kind of price range is the average radon mitigation system, just to kind of give the listener a perspective?
The mitigation systems are probably $1,400 to $2,000.
Yeah. Depending on if you need an active.
So it's not like a catastrophe.
Correct.
If you have radon.
Yeah.
Danny makes a great point. Active or the passive is basically a tube that they pound through the concrete, stick up, and vent outside. The active is where it actually has a fan on there wicking the gas up. Which, depending on your needs, both can work very well.
I'll tell you another thing that you do, because when a buyer purchases your house and they're doing a radon test, they're doing the quick one in 48 hours. And I think from a seller perspective, that if you're gonna put your house on the market, let's just say we're gonna do it next spring.
Yeah.
Why don't we get a radon test in there right now? That's a longer one. It'll give you a lot better reading,
more accurate,
consistent reading. Yeah. And then you have it. And then on the disclosure statement, it states, hey, did you do that? Yeah, I did. And it was this. But if you did do it, or it's too high, put the mitigation system in before you sell it. Now you've got an advantage.
That's right.
You know, because people look at it and say, well, they already got a radon. There's no problems with this house. That other one's probably going to kill me.
I had a client a couple of years ago talking about radon mitigation, and the radon box deal was set downstairs, and my client says, oh, they forgot one of their tools, and they put it up on the front porch. So we had to redo that test. How funny is that?
So the question is, and the answer is no. Is the radon test required?
It's not required.
It's not required. All right. Let's see. Here's another test here. I'll just read this cold. Do you ever have clients that want a house to finish renovating? We have an 1883 home that still needs some work, roof, siding, windows, insulation, central air done, and a new boiler. Most of the work left is cosmetic. Thank you. Did you get that?
We got a guy from Hutchinson right here that might want that.
He's looking for a flip.
That is kind of nice, because they've done a lot of the heavy duty work, you know.
Yeah.
The other one, making it pretty inside and adding to it is kind of the fluff. And
subjective
a lot of
to
times,
opinion too. Yeah. Sometimes you can take it the wrong direction. So
for selling, see how much time we have. All right, we have a couple of minutes to go. For selling, is it worth it to put an egress window in?
It depends how many bedrooms you have, but most likely it's going to be. But those things cost, depending on what you do, but it's going to be around $5,000 after you get the landscaping done around it and cut it out and, you know, trim it on the inside. But if that changes your house from a two-bedroom to a three-bedroom, I think that's a big deal.
Mm. Big time.
From a four-bedroom to a five-bedroom, maybe not as,
yeah,
as
or
much.
Or five to six. What's kind of funny, though, too, Danny, is that we've actually had where the quantity of the bedrooms will turn people off, or the house is too big and people won't see because they don't want to manage that much or heat
right.
that much or cool that much space. So it is a, you know, you look at your market, you look at your, who am I going to try to sell this house to? And if, like Chris said, the three bedroom, two bath is the hot ticket right now, that's probably worth your investment to get on the hot ticket.
And you get this question all the time, I'm sure. If somebody wants to change, let's say they have a four bedroom, and they want to make one of the bedrooms an office. Or it is. Would you recommend them putting it back as a bedroom before they sell it, or does it matter?
Here's the thing. You also got to look at, because a lot of people, you go into their house and say, oh, I've got three bedrooms and an office.
Yeah.
Well, there's some cities, it depends what the city determines what a bedroom is. And a lot of cities don't require a closet to be a bedroom.
Right.
And so it can be a bedroom. And then from obviously a marketing standpoint, we want to be able to put that four bedrooms.
I market with the bedrooms. And then I stage as an office. And then people will come through and say, where's that fourth bedroom?
Oh.
I'll say, it was actually the office on the main floor. So we're hitting on both kind of cylinders. The person walking through looking for the home office, which is tremendously popular right now, is where we're at. And then they will have the bedroom ready to go if they want it. So
we've got a Viking show starting at 11 o'clock right after you guys head out of here. How about that?
Great.
Huh? Yeah, you stay tuned to CCO for that. Now, we want to get in touch with you guys. I know the listeners do.
Yep.
If you want to check out some new homes, existing homes, these are the guys you want to call. How do we get in touch with each individual?
We made a little website for us.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's andyandrooney.com.
Is that lowercase, uppercase? Does somebody get uppercase?
See,
somebody get lowercase?
That's the joke. Is that my name is in lowercase? His is in uppercase.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Very good. Well, you're gonna be here next week at the fair.
Yeah, actually,
I hope, because I'll be awfully lonely if you're not. All right, so we'll see you next week here on CCO.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.